And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. This morning I wanted to share with you a little bit about our journey as a family. And just some things that God has really placed on my heart in the last few weeks. Just as we've been walking this path and God has really been sharpening our faith, I felt like God is placing this on my heart saying, how selfish would you be to rob me of my glory without sharing with you how faithful I am, without sharing with you how much the power of the cross and the power of my love for you is so evident in your daily life. And so I want to share with you a couple of those things, because out of that scripture that I read for you, we talk about just faith comes from hearing the word of God. But I also feel like it's so important to encourage one another as believers and continue to encourage one another in that faith and be reminded of God's goodness and be reminded of what God has shown us and be reminded of what God is doing. And so in that light, I wanted to just highlight the word faith, because that's something that has been very challenging for me personally at this point, and I feel is something that God has really been trying to sharpen us as a family. And I believe it's Phyllis is one of her favorite verses, but it's Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that we hope for, that what we hope for will actually happen. And it gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Assurance about things that we cannot see. Imagine that. Because do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you know what's going to happen? Do you know what you're having for lunch today? Maybe not. Maybe you're sitting there thinking that. Okay, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Our days are numbered. We don't know what our ministry is going to look like the next day. We don't necessarily, some of us know, where your next paycheck is coming from. There are so many things beyond this moment that we don't know. And to be able to have that hope and assurance in God, what an amazing thing. And so as God has been bringing this change in ministry to our light, he's been challenging us to strengthen our faith so that we can have assurance about things that we cannot see. So here are a couple things that I know that you can have confidence and assurance in God. These are six attributes that God has just really made very evident to us that I want to share with you as our family, and I want you to just take them and hide them in your heart, because, man, they're powerful. They're life-changing for us. Thing number one, you can be confident and you can have assurance that God speaks. Yeah. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Matthew 10:27. You will know his voice if you spend time with him. You'll know his voice if you spend time with him. And better yet, I'll tell you the truth, you guys. You'll still know his voice even if you don't have a ton of time. I want to be very transparent and tell you just my life as a mom, as a wife of someone in ministry, as a full-time teacher, as a part-time voice instructor. Life is really busy, and so busy, in fact, that I don't put in the time that I wish I had to spend time with God. I don't put in the time that I, in my mind, I know I should. And yet what has been such a blessing is God has spoken ever so clearly to our family, even though I fall short, even though I fail, even though I'm not at his feet 24/7 like my heart desires, he speaks and speaks very clearly. Number two, you can have confidence and assurance that God prepares. Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. Think about creation. Think about how intentional God was about timing things out. God is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. You can take assurance and confidence that God, whenever he chooses to do something in your life, whenever he chooses to train you in some area, whenever he chooses to move you to some direction, he will prepare the way and he will prepare your heart. In fact, this journey for us as a family, he started preparing our hearts a year and a half ago. Not saying specifically where we were going. He didn't say, by the way, guys, I'm just going to change everything, so just be ready. But he gave us the word that we needed at the time to start preparing. He told us in January of 2016, he laid it on Michael's heart and said, prepare. He just said, prepare. And so we're sitting here talking, going, I don't know what that means. Prepare for what? So then we said, we pray about it, and we sit on that for a while, and then, you know, a couple months later, then he says, he gives us just this imagery of how Israel was led by the cloud by day, by fire by night, and just gave us that imagery of a cloud, and he just told us, the cloud is lifting. You know, it's not time yet, but the cloud is lifting. Something is going to change. And still, through prayer and all of that, we had no idea what that meant. We thought maybe it was Pastor Adrian leaving. So that's a huge change for us as a family, for us as a church family. And then later on, God gives just a little bit more in preparation, a little bit more saying, it's time. It's time. Do you see me uprooting? Do you see me filling in the gaps? Do you see it's like a pencil in a glass of water? When you pull the pencil out of the water just fills in. It's not as if you were never there, but it's as if I'm just filling in the gaps. It's time for you to move on. I need you somewhere else. And if you would have told us that back in January 2016, we would have said no. We said, are you crazy? No. But God prepares, especially for me specifically in my job of teaching, and I'll come to that in a little while. But God prepares. Number three, God is omniscient. Pastor Kevin was telling me this morning, nothing surprises God. Nothing surprises God. Isaiah 40:13-14 says, who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord? Or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Psalm 139, just a portion of it. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. Isaiah 46:9-10. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all of that and all that I please. God is God, and I'm not. Praise God for that. Amen. And knowing that he's omniscient, he knows everything. Nothing surprises him. He knows that this is hard for me personally. He knows this is hard for our family. He knows this is hard for our church. But God is God.
Amen.
Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Personally, for me, with teaching, for those of you that know me, teaching is everything I've ever wanted to do, ever. When I was in sixth grade middle school choir, I literally sat there as a sixth grader and said, this is what I want to do. I want to teach middle school choir. How many sixth graders do you know do that? Wow. But that's what I want to do. And I'm in the greatest district on the planet. I love my job so much. It is the perfect place for me. It is, the families there are so wonderful. My students want to learn. They want to learn. My staff that I get to work with every day, they're so wonderful. And the ministry opportunities there that God has opened up for me are so fantastic. God, why? Why would you pull me out of this? This is everything I've ever wanted. Everything. This is where I thought I would grow old. I actually had a senior come in and visit me the other day, and she goes, I thought you would die in this place. I said, me too. Me too. You know, but God is omniscient, and rehearsing that truth about God makes it possible to walk away from that. Amen. It makes it possible to say, God knows how important this is. God knows how much I love this, and God knows what those kids need. And it's okay that it's not me anymore. It's okay. Doesn't mean I was never there, but it's okay because I'm needed someplace else. So God is omniscient, and you can rest in that. Now we're starting to get to things that I'm still working on, and I'm being transparent with you about. Number four, God is for you. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, why won't he also give us everything else? If you align your will with God's will, he will graciously give you all things. even if it doesn't seem apparent at the time you want it, at the time you think you need it. But God is for you. Number five. Nope, actually I'm going to go back here. With God being for you, it's something that I know I need to remind myself of. And it's something that I also want to be transparent with you, that leaving teaching, as I mentioned, is hard. But then you throw in everything else. You throw in my family. You throw in finances. You throw in a home. You throw in a new ministry. You throw in, there's no job out in Cody for me. I'll be honest with you. There is no job there for me right now. You throw in all of those really hard things and go, God, are you really for me? How much more can I sacrifice? How much more are you going to ask for? There's not a whole lot left in the pot here, God. But knowing that I can go back to this verse and I can rehearse that He is for me. And I can rehearse that Jesus is all. And that He demonstrated His love for me using His very own Son. I can hang on to that even though I don't have it figured out yet. Even though I still have to walk this really challenging, very painful season, I know that God's going to be on the other side, and I know that God is going to bless us, and I know that God is going to bless even the people we leave behind. I know it.
Amen.
Number five, God grants power and strength to those who ask. Isaiah 40:29, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I love how Paul discusses that he loves it when he's weak, because then it shows how strong God is. Again, going back to Romans, if you ask for it, if you align your will with God, He will grant you the power and the strength to do anything, even when it's hard. He'll use Scripture to encourage you. He'll use Scripture to remind you of truths you can rehearse. He'll use other people. I'll be transparent again. Michael and I would never even be able to physically stand nor have clean clothes or our boys be around if it wasn't for my parents. My parents, we called them this morning and said, we can't do this. God uses other people to grant you power and strength, other people to support you. God will use our Crossroads family to provide strength and stability for one another through Christ. God grants power and strength to those who ask. And finally, which I have seen some of, but I'm so excited to see, is that God will get His glory.
Amen.
He will get His glory, even when it's challenging, even when He's teaching you about faith and stretching you, and it feels like you can't take another step. God will get His glory in the end. God will get His glory throughout the process, and I'm so excited to see what's going to happen. Just even in my small teaching career and my time, you know, you work day in and day out and you grade papers and singing tests and do all this. And you know, you see those posts on Facebook right now of what teachers look like in September and then what teachers look like in May. If you haven't, they're really funny. Anyway, you know, you do that day in and day out, and then you get home and you're like, do I even make a difference? You know, the kids hate me because you give homework and da 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 da. And then you get to school, and then there's this one kid. When I told my students, it was awful. You know, they were just heartbroken that I was leaving. And this one kid, she raises her hand, and she goes, Ms. Lako, I just got to tell you, in front of like 90 other sixth graders, I just got to tell you, I think it's really great how you're handling this. I said, thanks. That's good. And she's like, no, but really, because you're so positive and you're looking ahead, and I know you're sad to leave us, but I'm really encouraged and inspired by you just leaving what I know that you really love to do and just going after. I just think that's cool. It's like, well, great. That's great. Things like that. You know, things like I'm eating my lunch frantically at my desk and I get a knock on my door, and all of a sudden in comes a student and she's just in tears and she says, Ms. Lako, I know that you know God. Can you pray for me? What? So all the grading papers, all those horrible, terrible things that make you just, ah. And then there's a moment where you can see God receiving His glory. So I'm so looking forward to seeing God receive His glory at the end of this journey for us and continuing forward and seeing it as you continue your journey here at Crossroads. So as I spoke with God about what to share with you about our journey, there's so much more. But I wanted to share with you just to tell others of God's goodness and His mercy. Tell others of the good things that God has done. To God be the glory. This isn't about me. This isn't about Michael. This isn't about our boys. This is about God. Tell others about God's goodness and His mercy. Encourage one another with scripture and with songs. Love one another as Christ has loved the church, sacrificially and bearing all for the glory of our Heavenly Father. Amen.
And Michael told me that Tina does like to be in front of people. What a blessing. What a blessing. You guys have been, those that have worshipped here longer than I have really been blessed to have this family a part of your life. And in my 8 weeks, maybe, I don't count anymore. I won't tell you how many it feels like, but in my short time here, God instantly put 3 points on my heart from Psalm chapter 1. Would you just turn there? I want to read the short verses here, just 6 verses, but I want to share just 3 points of what I believe we have been blessed by from Tina, from Michael, from Noah and Jeremy, and even Caleb, because this is their family. Psalm chapter 1 reads, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Verse 3. "And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season. Its leaves does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the assembly of righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." One verse here, I believe, encompasses what we see in the family of the Laco family. That's verse number 3. See, in this is Psalm 1 unplugged real quickly. There's a lot in here, but I just want to look at this one verse in verse 3. The psalmist is likening children of God to a tree. It's a simile. And he's likening us to a tree that's planted by streams of living water. Or I add the living water part. Streams of water. The living water is Jesus Christ. So when we have Christ in us, we are drinking from the living water. I probably even read it, living water. It's just always there. Even I'm not adding to Scripture, so don't get on me about that. It's just the truth, because He gives us that living water. And in the life of a believer, when you are firmly planted by streams of water, notice that there's multiple streams. There's not just one stream, but the streams of water that we have in Christ are immense. They're for your benefit, they're for my benefit, they're for that tree, for that believer who's planted firmly by these streams of water. And what happens as a tree is planted? The roots have to grow deep. The roots have to grow down looking for that water to take its nourishment up. Have you ever noticed that when storms come and you have a little tree, is it a fledgling, a tree, a young tree? Sapling? When you have a sapling, you put these braces on it so they can stand up strong. But the more the weather beats at it, the more it drives that little sapling for its roots to grow deeper, to find its foundation, to find its strength. In this young family, they have a strong foundation because their roots have grown deep. And they've drank from the springs of water. And here are some of the streams. This is not exhaustive. But as a tree, as a believer, your roots are going deep to drink from the streams of pardon, forgiveness, the streams of grace, the streams of communion with God that daily walk in His presence, the streams of sanctification in order to become more and more like Jesus and less like ourselves, the streams of healing when we just let our roots grow into Christ and be made whole and complete in Him, the streams of promise. His Word is filled with promises for us. The streams of blessings, all those good gifts our Father wants to bestow upon His children. The streams of mercy, God withholding from us what we rightly deserve. The streams of peace, that gift of Jesus. The streams of hope, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The streams of love, for we know that love is the greatest. The streams of joy, Jesus and His strength, the Father's favor over you, the good news. And we could just go endless because there's multiple streams that we can grow down and sap into and bring up in the nourishment of our life as we're going in Christ. And the psalmist has likened us as that tree. And I know you've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen these characters, these qualities, these godliness in the life of Michael and Tina. That doesn't come on its own. It comes from drinking deeply in the stream of water, the multiple streams that are there for our benefit. The next point in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3 is that you'll bear fruit in season. Now, you notice the blossoms on the trees are coming out right now. Well, they're past blossoming, but you remember all the trees are just beautiful with those flowers? You know, fruit comes in season. And, you know, if any of us are impatient, we want it now. In our society and culture we live in now, we want it now. But for fruit to bear, it takes time for it to be produced. How does fruit get produced? Well, it has to be attached to the tree, or in John 15, to the vine. And the tree and the vine have roots, and those roots have to grow deep, and the roots have to go down to those streams of water to suck up all the nourishment to feed that tree, to feed that vine, for it to be able to produce fruit. So the fruit comes in season. There's been seasons in the Lakel family. We've been able to benefit from the fruit that they have borne here as they've ministered here. And they'll have more fruit. That fruit will continue to produce in their next ministry and in their family. But ultimately, Scripture tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is... You guys know what Scripture says? What's the first part of the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Now, I don't want to get into a preaching thing, but it's a singular fruit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. From love, all the other fruit is produced. We have joy that comes from love, peace that comes from love, patience that comes from love, kindness that comes from love, goodness that comes from love, faithfulness flows out of love, gentleness flows out of love, self-control flows out of love. But the fruit that we are to bear when our roots grow deep and from the streams of water and get our nourishment is the fruit of love. And we've experienced love from this family. They've loved us. They've loved you, and we've been able to love them. And we continue to love one another. The last thing the psalmist writes here is that leaves never wither, but they prosper. Whatever they do, they prosper. So here's this image, the image of a fruitful tree that is prospering, fruit in season, leaves are continuous because they don't wither. It's the same truth that the psalmist gets to in Psalm 92, the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong as cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted into the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Notice, for any of you in this room, we are never to stop serving our God and our Creator. Withered leaves are a sign of death. Withered leaves are a sign of we're done. The blessed man who's planted by streams of water, which bear fruit in season, their leaves never wither. So let's just cut to the chase. We're never called to retire from serving our Lord and Savior. We are to serve Him with all that we've got until the day we're transported into His very presence. The leaves don't wither. I don't care if you're 109 years old. Hope no one, is anyone here 109? We want to celebrate. You're 109, Samuel? All right. You're well preserved, young man. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you are a blessed man, and that's where we can really get into this text, but we're not going to do that. These are the example of a blessed man, a blessed woman, a blessed child who's likened to a tree planted by streams of water, which will bear fruit in season, but whose leaves do not wither. In what they do for the kingdom of God, they will always prosper. Not for our recognition. What the Lakers have done in ministry hasn't been for their recognition, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. And God will prosper them in Cody, Wyoming. And they will have fresh fruit there. Their leaves will continue to be there on their trees. And they will give glory to Jesus, and they will have a prosperous ministry for the name of our coming King. So church, we may be saying goodbye to a family that we love, but you know what? We have benefited from them. You have benefited from them. And my encouragement is, as Tina shared, those qualities of a life of faith tie into a blessed man who's going to be as a tree planted by streams of water. Our life has purpose. Our life has meaning. God has called each one of us. He has created us in Christ Jesus to do good works that were prepared in advance for us, Ephesians 2:10. We don't have an excuse. If you're a child of God, you have a mission to accomplish. You have a calling on your life. You have fruit to bear, and you're to keep your leaves, so don't retire. God will determine your retirement day. As I close this, just want to share one thing. We're going to have a time for you to share a few short words to the Lakeville family. We're recording the service so Michael can listen to it. But also then we'll have a prayer blessing and sending off on Tina and the boys that are here this morning. This past week, Brendan and I lost a dear friend. I was still get emotional. Harv Steiner, one of the elders for my church in Pennsylvania. He was a bear of a man. At first, I was thinking, oh, there's my thorn in my flesh for this ministry. If you've been in ministry, you know what I'm talking about. But he was such a loving man. And the day we interviewed in that church in 2007, after our interview, we were interviewing at another church. And it wasn't right, and the district superintendent said, "You've got to go to New Stanton before you leave the state. I'm calling them and telling them they have to interview you." So we drove down to this other church, and Harv says to me, "You're our pastor. I'm going to flatten your tires so you can't leave. We'll just go send someone else to go get your stuff." Okay? Nathan's driving home from Pennsylvania. He still has his permit. He goes, all of a sudden he gets a flat tire. Serious. In a construction zone on I-94 just south of Detroit, the tire goes flat. I'm going, wouldn't it have really flattened our tire that we couldn't leave? He didn't. I called him. Harv. He goes, "You're kidding me. You got a flat tire?" I share that with you because here's a man who still just 2 weeks ago called me. How's the ministry going? How's Brenda feeling? What's Casey graduating? How's that grandbaby coming? I can't wait to call you out in Pennsylvania. You call you grandpap. He goes, can't wait to call you when that grandbaby's born and say, I'm so glad that you are grandpap. But this man, up until God took him home on Thursday morning, kept serving his Lord at 79 years old. He didn't stop. Every Sunday he was there to play the piano for the service. He was the one that always was making a connection with people. When I went there 12 years ago, he says, I have a list of people who've left this church and I want to take you to go get them so that we can come bring them back. You know, I had to tell him, it doesn't work that way, but that's his heart. And so here's the message for all of us. God has a plan in all of our lives. Are we going to walk in it or are we going to resist it? Are we going to grow in the streams that he's given us to nourish us and bear fruit? Are we going to have leaves until the day that he calls us home? Or are we going to resist him and live a miserable life? Because to be a child of God in contradiction to what he has for your life, life is, it just doesn't make sense. And that's where Michael and Tina are at. They're saying, yes, Lord, we're here. And we know you have something else for us, and we're going forward serving you. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And so, as we spend these next few moments, remember that for each of our lives. Each one of us has a purpose to fulfill for the kingdom of God. It may be here, it may be there. It doesn't matter where it's at. But we are called to do it. Bear fruit. Get your nourishment from the streams of water. If your leaves are starting to wither, pick off the dead ones and let the new ones grow back on and get serving again. Don't stop. Don't stop. Each one created for a purpose in advance for you to fulfill. And allow God to lead your life and walk in the fullness of his life. Be men and women of faith. And love. Just love each other. There's a difference between liking and loving. You know that, right, church? We're not called to like everyone, but we are called to love one another. For the greatest is love. And I know you guys have love for Michael and Tina and Noah and Jeremy and Caleb, and I can't wait for Noah to keep growing up because he told me 2 weeks ago, Pastor, I'm going to be a pastor. And I believe he's going to be. I have to agree with them. So, I want to give any of you that have something in your heart that you just want a word of encouragement, that a word of thanks that you'd like to share to the Laco family, just where you're at, raise your hand and I'll come to you. Is it muted? Oh, you're good. Sandy? She needs a mic.
Where's Tina go?
Tina's right there.
I have my glasses on. As you know, I invited Jenna to come this morning, and she had a girls' weekend in San Diego. She sent you her best. And so then I want to wish you prayers and safe driving and many, many years to come in your mission or your missions in the future. God bless.
Thank you. Somebody else?
Tina, what a blessing this morning. Thank you for sharing. I really haven't gotten to get to know you, and I really wished I could have more. We got to know your family a little more, Michael, I guess, than anything. And we're so thankful the way, as you said, God is orchestrating. I love your word, rehearse. Everything out, because I just said in Sunday school we were a bit overwhelmed. You were overwhelmed, and Michael really helped Pastor Kevin a lot, and we're so thankful. We're thankful for your family and wishing you all the best and prayers for you guys.
Tina, I want to thank you. I love you and Michael, and I thank you for singing at Ray's funeral. But I have a memory sharing my heart's burden with you about my granddaughter, who at that time was your student in the choir. And I just want to thank you and praise you for those prayers as a senior going to a younger woman. That was a God thing, and I see God working. And that grandson was the one that had the accident yesterday, but I just love you too, and my prayers go with you and Michael. God's got a good thing for you too. Our family loves you.
Thank you, Laura.
Sorry, folks. I appreciate your sweet, humble, and tender heart. I miss you. Noah and Jeremy, your special kids. I'm going to miss you guys too, as well as Caleb, even though I haven't gotten to know him quite as well. The Lord put on my heart that God is going to use him, Michael, in some great ways. And he already has here at Crossroads. And the sad thing for me is that I won't get to experience that firsthand. But I'm just glad that God has a plan for you guys and he is going to use you. And we will want to follow you even from a distance. It's sad to not have you as part of the Crossroad family. But you're still a part of the greater family of God. And we will have a future to spend with you forever and ever, even though the next few years we won't. So I let you guys know that we really appreciate you. And we'll be praying for you. And if there's anything else we can do, please let us know.
Thank you.
Tina and Michael, I just want to thank you for your sweet countenance and your spirit-filled counsel. And God has gifted you. And others need you, so we must release you with love. Thank you.
I heard about that the Legos were going to move. Right after when we heard about the night that we had the conference with Dave Cotner and Burley, had talked to the grandparent of one of Tina's students. And she said, did anybody say anything about Legos moving? And I said, no. And she says, well, don't say nothing, because they'll probably say something Sunday morning. Sure enough, Sunday morning, they announced that they were leaving. We appreciate you being here, the work you've done. And thank you, Tina and Mike and the kids.
Thank you. You found out early.
Oh,
So Michael and Tina, I was just thinking back to when you first came and Michael's transition from Utah band, I believe. And this is his first pastor gig. And I think about the tremendous growth and how God has worked so much in your lives. And Michael just took on the worship, which is not an easy thing to do in a church, right? And he did such a great job. And the growth, it was hard, I'm sure, at times in ways that I don't even know. But I just am so grateful for that. I'm grateful for the way you guys stuck it through the hard times and blessed us so much as a church. And you go with our blessing, for it's sad to see you go, and we will miss you greatly. And we know, though, that it's also our job to release you with God's blessing, knowing that he will do tremendous things through your ministry going forward. So we hold you in our love. Our love carries with you forever, and our prayers do as well.
I'm sure that I have known you. Why'd you start that? Known you the least of anybody because I've only been here, well, exactly a year. But I remember visiting with you on a Wednesday
night. I know them less. You're still ahead of
me. Oh, okay. Fine. That'll work. But Michael was the first person that I really met and visited with here when I came by. My husband had pointed out, he said, there's that church that you used to go to in Garrison, and Alliance, and of course, that's where it was, right here, and so I stopped by one day and visited with him, so he was my first real contact, and I've just appreciated your little boys. I have this thing about little boys, anyway, and I, sometimes when I'm in church with my husband, or whether his church or mine, I'll say, that's the one we're taking home today. They're so darling, so darling. But now, on behalf of the grandparents, my first thought was, Jim and I had talked with Bill one Sunday for quite a while, and he'd gone over to help in the morning because you guys were sick or something. And I thought, wow, how wonderful to have grandparents close by. Now, my thought is, what are you doing to your parents? Are you taking them with?
Hold up a minute on that.
Seriously, I did this to my parents when I moved to Arizona, when my youngest boy even was a year and a half. And my dad said it was the hardest day of his life. So get a lot of airline tickets, rev up your car, whatever. Wyoming's not as far as Arizona. You got to be there.
Thank you. Bob, thanks. Welcome back to church.
Thank you.
And you too, Sharon. Good to have you guys back.
I never speak in public, but I have to tell you a story about Mike coming to visit me with Mom and Dad, Jeremy, and the little ones. Jeremy had a little card with three crosses on it. And I said, Jeremy, what's that? And he pointed to the middle one. And he said, that's where Jesus died. And I thought, he's 4 years old. Little four-year-olds don't do that. And he prayed for me. And I was so blessed.
Amen.
It's going to be so hard to see you guys leave. So, blessings to you.
Rod and I started coming to this church because Michael and Tina were here and the boys. And so, I've told them that if they want to go to Wyoming, they can go to Wyoming. I don't care. But the kids stay. The kids stay. And I could go on and on with stories about Michael. But the first time we met Tina, we just fell in love with her right away. And we're just extremely thankful for her and for the kids. And it's going to be hard for us not to see the boys running around this church, but we're not going anywhere.
Well, won't Grandma and Grandpa come too? Tina and Jeremy and Noah and Caleb, can you come up front here? Can I ask the elders that are here just to come up with me too? And if your wives are with you, come up too. Why don't you just stand down here? We just want to pray over you and God's best for you. Church, if you want to just stand and you can extend your hands or hand and just agree in prayer with us as we pray over this family and just hold them before God's throne for these great plans He has for them as they move from this place. Father in heaven, obviously you have things in plan that we aren't aware of, and this is one of the plans that you have brought into the life of Michael and Tina and their precious boys. And Lord, as it was said, we release them because they're called by you and to you. And they have a higher calling from you than any church can give them. And Lord, in their obedience to follow after you, we ask that you would continue to go before them, prepare their way, guide their steps, place a hedge of protection around them, guard them in their ways, anoint their ministry. May they continue to grow from the streams of water that they're planted by. May their fruit be plentiful and full. May their love excel. May their leaves continue to grow. May the ministries that you have for them flourish as they obey the Spirit's voice and follow after their Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for blessing this church with them and their ministry. And Father, we thank you for how they've poured into our lives, how they've given their all to serve you, their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Lord, as Cody, Wyoming welcomes them in the next few weeks, we ask that they would get landed there, that they would be loved, that they would be accepted, that you would give them good connections, and may they continue to work hard to advance the kingdom of God. We love them, we thank you for them, and we send them with your care and your protection for your plans. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love you.
There you go. Did you record the service? Because last week, Ben came up to me and says, the service wasn't recorded, so I just assumed they got...